This podcast has been made by Friends of Anfield Cemetery. This is Tim speaking. Great to welcome Tom Bradburn onto this podcast. Tom is the secretary of the Friends of Anfield Cemetery, which is a charity, Tom. Is that right?
That's correct, yes.
Excellent. Now, I chanced upon this just purely by going onto a website in Liverpool with some links, and it was mentioned that the charity is doing a big lottery bid at the moment, which we're hoping to go through. So how long have you been involved in the Friends of Anfield Cemetery, and why is it important to you?
Well, right, okay. How long? In 2012,
yep.
I decided that I wanted to go part-time and not stay full-time in teaching. And I thought, well, what am I going to do with this part-time? And one of the things I decided to do was to look into my family history.
Yeah.
And I knew that most of my family were buried in Anfield Cemetery, which is a huge site. I didn't realise how big it was until I went down again after many, many years. And so I went down there and I couldn't find the grave, of course, or the graves. There was a fellow there, however, who regularly went there and just, I didn't know at the time, but it was all, he always went simply to help people to locate a particular grave. And I happened upon him. He came along and he said, oh, can I help you? And he introduced himself as Bob Halliday. First time I'd heard his name. And he made a major change to my life in this way. As we were going towards my family graves, he was saying, in that grave, there's such and such a person. And they did this. And he'd go to the next one. And he'd go to the next one. And by the time we got to my family grave, I wasn't really worried about it, because I'd been doing some research. This particular man gave me that direction.
Cool.
I realised that out of the 600,000 people, as it turns out, who were buried or had been cremated there, the stories with the wealth of Liverpool's history over the last 200 years. And that's why I wanted to get involved. And Bob is no longer with us, but it's a legacy of his. We are carrying that on, really.
Yeah, that's a good story. And I think I've done a few podcasts in the past and looked into my own family history, and that can be the start of something quite profound. But for you to then go to the cemetery and be told all this rich history, because you can walk through a cemetery and none of this is available. And from speaking to you, what you want to do is turn a visit to Anfield Cemetery into a real historical and cultural experience,
yeah,
rather than just a place where people might go to visit.
Yeah. Well, in the cemetery now, there's only one of three chapels. One remains. There's also two huge catacombs there. Both of them are at risk. The other chapels have been dismantled. And we hope, and when I first saw this, I thought, well, just maybe, wouldn't it be nice if we could do something with that in order to attract people and have somewhere for them to go? And that one thought, which wouldn't it be good if, now, 10 years later, is moving very much so in that direction. And it's not a matter of wouldn't it be good if. We're beginning to feel as though we think we can do this now, because we've had so much support from the Liverpool City Council, Historic England and the National Lottery. So by taking those step by step by step, we've now got, well, our last bid was for £50,000, and it put a lot of information together that we would need to go forward. And now we put in, just last week, a £250,000 bid for taking it even further. And we've got 8 weeks to wait. And if it's a yes, brilliant. If it's no, we'll get some guidance on what we can do with the bid again for the next application with it. But we certainly intend to continue with that and turn this chapel, the one remaining chapel, into an international heritage and visitor centre with a large extension on the back. Because these days, people come to the cemetery for, obviously, for the cremations and burials and so on. They wait in all kinds of weathers outside and wait for the coffins to arrive. And it's abysmal weather sometimes. Yeah. It's awful waiting around in that. Nowhere to go, etc. And then they just go in, the ceremony's over, they go back, as you were saying earlier.
Yeah.
They go back in taxis to some other distant place and reassemble. We think we can have not only an international heritage and visitor centre there, but a catering area and a conference area, an education centre. There's all that that can come from it. In an area, Anfield, which is recognised as one of the poorest in Europe, never mind, you know, just one of the poorest in Europe, and that give proper jobs to people, volunteering opportunities, it gives them a wealth of something to better themselves. Mm. And lots of them want to do that, but there's not much available in Anfield.
Yeah. Yeah, and I think that's important because a lot of people will know Anfield as the place where Liverpool FC's ground is. Yeah. And it's a little bit, it's not that far from the city centre really, but as you say,
I think it's 3 miles.
Yeah, it's an underprivileged area, particularly compared to the wealth of the city centre. And there's a lot of untapped potential there. And Bootle Cemetery, where I'm from, that chapel has completely been demolished in recent years. We only had one there, but the thought of all three chapels in Anfield Cemetery going, you know, is a real pity. Yeah. But thankfully, you've managed to get some work done on this chapel that's left, and you want that to develop more going into the future.
Yeah, I think if we weren't, if we weren't involved, this was some time ago, we were told if we hadn't been involved, then this particular chapel is likely to have had to be taken down.
Yeah.
Now, because the council haven't got the money, we haven't got yet the funding from other funding bodies, the council were good enough to actually reinforce the chapel itself. So it's now structurally sound enough to carry on while we are still searching for funding, which once we've proved ourselves, we will have a better chance of getting the funding. What I mean by proved ourselves, we argued that with this chapel, we can attract people, tourism, we can make it into an education centre, we can get projects underway, we can get people involved with heritage, which really are, when you think in terms of heritage, or the way I think in terms of heritage is that, if you've got family photographs and people come to your house, you've got family photographs, and they become central to your talking points. These, which are heritage items, like the chapel and catacombs, etc., these are community memories. The thing is, the difference is, these are 3D. These are something you can touch, walk through, handle, and see. You put it then in a context, and it really makes a difference to your understanding.
Yeah, and it's a very big cemetery as well. I think it's one of the largest in Europe.
Yeah, it's 141 acres.
141 acres, and there's 600,000 people buried there.
There's more people in there than there are walking around in Liverpool.
That's incredible. And how long has it been built? When was the first site?
It was built in 1863. Margaret Place was the first person in. But some of the graves have been transferred from the centre of Liverpool, which are older, into the cemetery as well. So you really are going back 200 years plus with some of the history there.
Yeah. And as you said, there's some very interesting stories there, and in the past people would have walked through without knowing, but have you now got some historical stuff in the cemetery?
One of the things we did with Positive Futures, another charity for youngsters, and they were very good. Which story are we going to tell? We know about maybe 200-250 stories only out of the 600,000. So which stories do we tell? We had to make a choice. And they decided that they would have certain stories involved within large boards that you walk towards as a heritage trail. The boards are like tabletops, but they're slightly raised and slightly angled. And each one tells a story.
Yeah.
And they're phenomenal stories, absolutely incredible. Knowing them, It makes you feel more comfortable within a cemetery. It was before, maybe even before I went down in 2012, I was thinking love and respect, yes. And some of the films that you see, a little bit of fear maybe. But when we started doing these stories and positive futures were involved, they got so much out of it. And it changed it from love, respect, and maybe a little bit of fear to inspiration. There's an inspiration element there which is not being tapped at all. And this is what we want to do more than anything else, as well as help people who are obviously in a situation whereby there's a lot of death involved. People have got to get over that in some way, and it's a matter of trying to help them as well. So we're not forgetting the fact that it is a cemetery of where there's a lot of grief. We want to say, yes, we recognise that, we want to help in that respect, but we also want to change people's perceptions overall of what a cemetery is. It's not just somewhere to go and be sad. There's things in there, there's stories in there. In fact, as Bob said, it's a huge storybook. It really is, and we want to make it, there's inspiration here as well.
Yeah, and I think that obviously for a cemetery, people will say, well, a cemetery is a cemetery, but there is something distinctive about Anfield given its size. You've also got some subterranean passageways in the cemetery as well, catacombs. Do you want to tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the catacombs are, you can actually see the buildings relating. There's one huge catacomb on the right, one on the left, and in between is a space. The space used to be the Church of England chapel. Below those buildings, there are catacombs underneath. Yeah. Now, obviously, there's not even any roofs on them now because they've been allowed to just deteriorate so badly. But about 4 years ago, Historic England and Liverpool City Council decided that at least they would try and get the structure right, taking trees out, all kinds of weeds and moss and everything, and capped it, but didn't put any roofs on them. They're in a situation now where sometime in the future, if we had funding, we could then use those two buildings, put a roof on, use them for different things within the community. Someone came up with an idea that we could use one catacomb for one item, one catacomb for the other. And in one of them, we could use it for man's inhumanity to man. And the other catacomb could be used for man's humanity to man, and have exhibitions and conferences in each one accordingly. Yeah. And that certainly appeals to me. Yeah. But you're really looking at some time in the future for that kind of thing.
Yeah, I think that's good, and that's another positive aspect of the future. There's also a Blitz memorial there, which you're looking to update as well.
Yeah.
Now, Bootle, where I'm from, I've done a couple of podcasts on the Blitz in the past, but Liverpool took a lot of bombs during World War II, and the Blitz had a real impact here. Yeah. And you're looking to do some work on the Blitz Memorial in association with local schools, is that correct?
As part of this bid that we put to the National Lottery Fund, we have seven projects, one of which is about the Blitz Memorial. The Blitz Memorial, as it currently stands, is in a state, an absolute state of disrepair. In fact, the council have come along and taken the plaque off it. It's that bad. The core of it is disintegrated, and the outer slate or stone is falling off and so on. So it's in a really bad state. We haven't got the money. It's Liverpool's Blitz Memorial. It was actually opened in about 1953, in the days when there wasn't any money around then anyway, but it was thought so important to remember what happened in Liverpool in 1941-42, that they still got the funding together and built this memorial. Now, in our bid, we've got a number of schools and people who have disabilities, etc., and we want to get them involved in proposing, creating designs, set the context, this is what happened, this is why it's here. Can you come up with a replacement Blitz Memorial as a suggestion, as a concept? And getting those youngsters involved and get those people involved who really are unrepresentative and they can work with each other, as it were. then that, I think, is a great way of getting people involved in heritage and understanding of heritage, and therefore understanding themselves, the self-identity bit comes from the, all this kind of thing. Amazingly, we've got a tremendous support from Hope University. We will encourage our undergraduates to get involved as well. So the idea would be for the youngsters and the undergraduates to sort of help each other. And I would think it would be the undergraduates helping the youngsters. But there's certain problems that those youngsters have. It will inform the undergraduates just what other people have to put up with in their lives, and they get on with it.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, to me, is a lovely aspect of it.
And I like as well, on your website, we'll put all the details of the website in the notes as well, but it says that visiting the past helps us understand the present and connect with the future.
Yeah.
The National Lottery bids now, it's all about community participation. Heritage is important, the past is important, commemorating the dead and remembering them is important, but it's about becoming a community hub moving forward in the yeah. future, not just for people to visit, but for the local community to be proud of,
yeah.
for local schools to be coming in, working with local universities, and to turn it into a place where people come to visit, as well as a place where people come to commemorate the dead as well. And I yeah. think that it ticks a lot of boxes, this project, because it's not just about the past. It's very much about the present and the future. And you've got some very ambitious plans, haven't you, to develop yeah. the cemetery moving forward. And you're hoping to have a visitor centre yeah. in the future and to be recognised as a very key site so that anyone coming to the city, you know, cruise yeah. ships,
yeah.
tourists, exactly visitors, that. And also local people, local communities. It's part of their identity, as you've said, as part of well-being, being proud of your community.
Yeah.
Let's go down to the cemetery and be part of the future as well as looking at the past. So I think it's a very, very, very proud vision you've got, and a very, very good vision. And what kind of timescales are we looking for with this lottery bid? Because you've just literally submitted it in October 23, is that right?
We submitted this latest one only last Friday. So it's November the 3rd was the final date.
Yeah.
It was November the 2nd when we just about got it organised and sent it off. We'll wait for about 8 weeks. We will get a response. It may well, because it's very competitive, we may get a no. But if we get a no, it will be, this is where you needed to tighten up on it. This is where you should have done this and so on. So we will then reapply. And the National Lottery Fund is changing the criteria. So we will have to look through it thoroughly to see whether it matches or not, the new criteria, and hopefully in the main it will. Now that's the timescale on the immediate side, which is regards to bid itself. If we're successful, it will be 2 years for that to run. And then at that point in time, we hope we will be submitting a bid for what we call a development stage, where we develop the concept, the idea from the Royal Institute of British Architects, level 2, where we're at now, up to level 4. And that should take about 2 years. If that's granted and we do well, we can move on to the final stage, and that is the actual funding for the build. So we're talking about 2 years for this one, 2 years for the development stage, and then it could be 2 years for the actual build.
Yeah. It sounds like an exciting project. It's good that you've got so many people, because you're obviously the secretary of the charity, but there's a lot of really good stuff going on and a lot of people who are involved. And anyone who wants to get involved or is interested, we've obviously got your, we'll put your website links with this, and
yeah.
people can go to the site, etc.
Can I just interrupt?
Yeah, yeah.
I'm not the only one who's doing this, you know.
Oh, yeah, no, that's what I mean. There's so many others involved.
I want to make absolutely certain. The trustees that are there, they're amazing people as well.
Yeah. Yeah, excellent stuff. So good luck with everything moving forward then. Is there anything else that you want to add, Tom, to what we've mentioned?
No, I think we've covered it. I'm quite happy with that.
Brilliant. And I think that this project, it's an ongoing project, and whatever happens with the lottery bid, there's going to be strides forward in the future. And one of the things I did when Liverpool became capital of culture in 2007, I think it was.
2008.
2008? 2007, was that... Something happened in 2000. Was that the year of the...
That was the year before 2008.
I got a medal. Something happened in 2007 as well. But I remember that year I said there's so much about Liverpool that I don't know about. And I actually made an effort to go up to the Anglican Cathedral, to go into the Williamson Tunnels, etc.
Yeah.
And when I heard about Anfield Cemetery, I thought, this is another one of those things which you don't always hear about. And I think to raise the profile moving forward, I think it's a fantastic idea. So best of luck with everything, and thank you for your time.
Well, thank you for allowing me to join you. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Tom.
Thanks, Tim.
Ta-ta.